And the doghouse is going to be right back here coming live. I'm here. Oh, that's the echo I'm hearing. And we're going to talk May 19th, 1847.
What's the matter, Durka? You don't like the fact that we're talking we're not supposed to be?
That's what I like about it. All right, so I tease.
This is semi-live.
This is semi-live. Oh, welcome to the doghouse. You should know that already. But I tease. Durka, come to me. Take the camera. Right, the group shot. Or the group shot.
Well, he did that because we keep talking. It drives him crazy.
No, go to
Let's
the group
mess
shot.
With him.
Go
Let's,
to the group shot.
Let's just mess with Durka. Everybody talk. Right. Nope. Warren?
He's leaving. A la Durka Pedrosa has left the building.
He'll be back at 7.
He will be back at 7. So today is Ken's birthday. Ken, happy birthday.
Thank you very
Congratulations.
Much.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I don't celebrate him anymore, but that's okay. I All made right. it another year. Thanks, Warren.
So I spent
I feel much better now.
I spent a lot of time, and by that I mean like three minutes.
Yeah, oh, not even 10 minutes, huh? Wow.
Looking up historical facts about May
19th. 1847.
1847.
I want to say one you didn't find.
All right, hold on. Oh, go ahead.
Today is one day after our good friend Dave's birthday.
I knew that. Dave, who came to the studio, did know that.
Yes.
So here are four famous people that were born on Ken's birthday. That share a birthday with Ken. Peter Townsend.
Yeah.
Ken likes guitars.
Yep.
Pete likes guitars.
Who?
Jimmy Hoffa Jr. He likes unions. Ken's likes union busting.
I like union busting. Yeah.
And unlike him, Ken's still alive.
And then
he could still be alive.
No, Jimmy Hoffa Jr. is still alive. Senior, that's questionable.
No, okay. Yes, that's right.
And then here's the other thing, and this I thought was a very interesting thing, because when I look at Ken, I think midget.
Thanks, Phil. Right?
And I thought, how come Ken got no height genes? But then I found out that shares a birthday.
I'm shrinking.
With Andre the Giant and Bill Laimbeer.
Ooh,
two seven-footers, they stole all your
ideas. Guys.
There you go.
There
you go.
And
we don't like that term midget, just so I want to make that
Little
comment.
People?
Little people.
Little people, okay. The number one song in the country at the time of Ken's birth, this way you can look it up. I'm not going to say the year he was born in because that's disrespectful to old women. The number one song in the country was Ken.
It was Elvis Presley, All Shook Up.
All Shook Up.
Oh, I figured it would be the Tiger Rag from, right after the Civil War.
Yeah, something like that.
It was a minuet.
The Star Spangled Banner.
Mozart's number one, Concerta.
Yeah. So on Ken's 20th birthday, I actually know what he did.
Uh-oh.
On his 20th birthday, a very famous movie had its premiere. Ken, do you know what that movie was?
Good Ship Lollipop.
1977. And The Wayback Machine.
No.
All right, I'm going to give you a hint.
Was it like Staying Alive or something?
No. This is a movie that I live by.
Jaws.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
That was pretty funny.
Phil lives by it, so it's Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire. The Birdcage. No. What movie do I live by, Ken?
What movie do you live by?
All right, here we go.
Well, number one, Super Size Me was not out yet.
All right, are you ready for an audio hint?
Yes, please.
You sound a lot taller on a radio. Ooh, I give him a tough
man.
One.
Does that
Car
work for
wash?
You?
Turn Warren's mic off for the rest of the show.
Superfly.
I live my life by this. Lord knows I don't watch anything.
Superfly? It's probably some pro wrestling thing.
It's only the greatest movie ever made.
The greatest movie ever made. Okay, well, it probably wouldn't be on my list of greatest movies ever made.
If it's not, I'm leaving with Dirk.
Okay.
I give up.
All right, here's another one.
Okay.
If they had cremated the son of a bitch, I'd be kicking the bandit's ass to the moon by now.
Oh, God, Smokey and the Bandit.
Yes, premiered on your birthday.
On my birthday.
On your 20th birthday. You should have been there.
Yeah.
You didn't. You weren't there.
No, I was because I just drool over Sally Field and,
I hear that.
She was hot back then.
So other things that happened in the year of Ken's
birth. Did I just disrespect her?
You just disrespected her and Smokey and the Bandit all in one shot. I'm not even. You notice I just blew right past you.
Okay.
Other things that happened on Ken's birthday is Sputnik was launched.
It wasn't launched my birthday that year.
No, but that year. I said in the year of your birth.
Okay.
Big movies included Smokey and the Bandit.
We know that now.
12 Angry Men and Bridge Over the River Kwai.
12 Angry Men. Now, that's a great movie.
You know what I don't understand about this? It wasn't 12 Angry Men black and white?
Yes, it was.
And the other two were color. That doesn't make... Oh, no, because Smokey and the Bandit was in 20 years. All right, never mind. But Bridge Over the River Kwai was color.
Who was in the Bridge of the River on the River Kwai?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
He was. That's correct.
Yes, Obi-Wan Kenobi was in it. Richard Burton, right?
Non-Asian Bobby Fong.
Non-Asian Bobby Fong, who turns out... Isn't Mexican either.
And it turns out he is Asian, he just doesn't admit it.
He is Asian, and we had to find that out from other people. We will get back to that in a little later segment. Who was president in the year of your birth, Ken?
That would be Eisenhower.
Yes, it would be.
I thought it was Andrew Jackson.
Nice try.
And one last little bit of shtick. I was trying to look up things and like average price of eggs. But they were still chickens there. They hadn't evolved.
they haven't hatched yet.
And the only, according to one thing I read, the only brand of car out there was Ford's. And they were like $2,000 to $3,500.
I thought the Edsel was still around.
Were they that much money, really?
It says 1879.
1879. So, there were no cars invented.
3408 is what they were. Gas was 24 cents a gallon. These things called stamps, which I'm not even sure what they are anymore, were 3 cents. A Swanson's TV dinner, 75 cents, and a pound of bacon,
it still
60
costs
cents.
The same to feed you, that means.
Pretty much. If you throw in, the average person made around $4,500 a year.
Still more than I make.
Cost 20 grand.
Still more than I make.
I was going to say, and that's almost what I paid.
Wow.
But I thought, wow, Andre the Giant, that's big time celebrity.
Andre the Giant, yeah.
That's
cool.
Big time, and Peter Townsend. Peter Townsend,
definitely a guitar hero for me. So
I don't know. I wanted to bring that up because it is your birthday, and the show fell on the date of your birth.
Yeah, which
so
not
then
right.
You take it over
not,
from here, and it's your show the rest
not
of the way.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. You and I will say, be quiet and let Ken just talk the rest of the show.
I got nothing to say. Well, I do want to say that Phil and me had an interesting trip.
Yes, we did.
This weekend we went down to Virginia International Raceway in beautiful Alton, Virginia. I noticed that on all the videos and stuff like that, they all say, like, Danville, Virginia. It's not Danville, thank God.
Thank God.
It's in Alton, Virginia.
Thank you, baby Jesus.
Right. It's in Alton, Virginia. And I hadn't been there in about 8 years, I guess, and it'd been a couple years for you, right?
No, I was last year, last Easter.
Last spring.
I'm looking at Durka because Durka and I went to watch a race there last Easter weekend.
Okay.
So that's
so it had to have four wheels?
Huh? Yeah, it was four-wheel racing.
Okay.
It was Brian Downey was racing.
That's not racing.
Well, no, because
that's braking.
They kept breaking down, and
right.
And then we left because we drove down. It's 4.5-5 hours from here, and when you go with Durka, that's really six because we had to swing out.
Wait a minute. Okay, now I don't want to defend Durka at all, but if I remember correctly, we had a little bit of detour with you driving down.
Yes, we did have a little bit of a detour.
Only about 40 miles west of where we were supposed to be.
Yeah,
was it to the bacon factory?
No. It was kind of one of those, we stopped to eat and got back out, and we're not on the right road no
he
more.
He got confused. When he eats, it takes all the blood away from his brain.
It did. I'm not, we'll talk about that. We actually got some photos we're going to post up on YouTube with Ken and I doing a little commentary.
Right.
Just because, it was a kind of an interesting trip down there. We saw some great signs of how you knew you're close to Danville, Virginia, and stuff like that. So we had a pretty good time.
And we did some interviews when we were down there.
We did do some interviews, and they all came out pretty good.
That was nice. So we do want to say, thank you to Bobby Fong, to
Cam Boubier, Danny Eslick. Oh, crap. I'm punting on who
Bobby Fong.
Bobby Fong.
Non-Asian
Danny,
Bobby
we
Fong.
We had those four of them.
Yeah.
Bobby Fong, Danny Eslick, Cam Boubier.
Check out the video on YouTube.
Who am I forgetting? Josh Herron.
Josh Herron.
This is the longest interview of him.
Right, yeah.
And for all the bad things Ken has said about Josh Herron in the past, they were like best buds.
All the bad things I said about him.
I am just totally making that up.
You know what I wanted to do, Phil? I was going to ask
you. You were going to kick him over and
no,
be like,
I,
is that
I
what
I was going to ask Josh Herron to say for you, yeah. to Phil, to say, 0.0.
He wouldn't have understood.
No, he wouldn't.
But oh my God, that would have been so funny.
Yes.
I'm actually very proud of us, Warren. We didn't get thrown out.
No.
And there were times where we were literally being dickheads.
Getting thrown out would have surprised me. Getting in would have been one that I would have been expecting because of the rant we had last week about VIR.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but once you're in, I didn't think they'd throw you out.
Apparently VIR don't listen.
Well,
I don't think they have the internet there.
We went there to pick up our hard cards.
They're like, who are you?
Yes, that's right.
That's your credentials. Press credentials.
Our press credentials, and they basically said, no, we don't have you. And we said, okay, can you have us? And they did, so that was
they
nice.
They did, yeah. The lady's like, oh, okay. We're like, you know, and I'm going, don't you know who I am? Yeah. You know?
I said, don't we look like media?
I was like, you know, wearing our T-shirts. Yeah, you know, right. Drool hanging out the side of our mouths.
Well, you should have fit right in.
We kind of did. Really. But anyways, listen, why don't we take a break? We'll come back. I want to talk a little Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead. And then I'm sure Warren wants to talk a little bit about Tejas.
The Waco shootout.
Probably a lot. Yeah.
The second Waco shootout. Cannot forget about
that's true. The one without flames.
The one without flames. So this is Doghouse. We'll be right back in, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 minutes, something like that.
Or 3 seconds.
Or 3 seconds, whatever. I'm going to put this little ear thingy in. I can hear the music. I'm going to dance. Woo! But we'll be back in just a few short minutes. I feel like partying. I teased a little Walking Dead stuff. I watched the show. Do you guys watch, Ken?
You know, what? I don't.
Occasionally.
I don't.
So I kind of watch it. I always watch it as like, man, these people have horrible ideas, and I'm totally surviving the zombie apocalypse because I just know
you learn how not to do it by watching
Well,
that.
You know, like they do stupid things like, oh my God, we got a whole herd of people, so we're going to use a chain link fence to protect ourselves. Seriously, people? You know, you need stronger buildings. You know, the first person you should save is the guy who puts in the silence walls on the side of interstates. Because that dude there, you could put your whole community inside something that he built, and you're safe. You don't have to worry about zombies or renegade people.
The zombies don't climb?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, until the stack gets high enough.
Then you just let them kind of just peter out there. Go chase other
they did
people.
In World War Z, they did do that. They did go walk.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah. You know, and they ran really fast in World War II. Yeah. And Walking Dead, they're very slow. Anyways, Walking Dead fans, there seems to be a lot of bikers that like Walking Dead. And there's also one of the main characters in there is Daryl Dixon. He rides a chopper each year. I don't want to say each year. He's had a chopper, and then they switched it up, and now he's got a different one that he kind of built himself or something like that. But according to UndeadWalking.com, The Walking Dead's doing an open casting call looking for fit bikers.
You said an open casket call?
Open casting.
Casket.
Call. Casting.
Casket.
That's not funny.
It was the first time.
No, it wasn't. but they are looking for fit bikers. So apparently the producers there hate fat people, and they don't think any of us fatties are going to survive.
Well, they're looking for a pretty rare breed.
Yeah, because they're looking for, like, the Harley unshaven leather jacket type. It's like, yeah, those guys, it's going to be the sport bikers. If you're looking for thin people to survive, it's going to be the sport bikers.
Yeah, they're not going to, that's right, exactly. They're going to be sport bike riders because most of the Harley riders you see out there, the dyed in the wool.
We don't run.
Harley guys tend to have the look like it, and Warren doesn't look like it. But have that look tend to also come.
Wow, a dagger towards Warren.
Not the fit part, Warren, but the beard and the big pot belly that a lot of Harley guys.
I don't know.
Unless you're hiding something.
Just let him keep digging. It's his birthday. Forgive him and move on.
Yeah, happy birthday.
You know, born in 1834.
47. You keep 47, changing it.
Whatever. But they are looking. So it's extrascastingtv.com/gmail.com, I guess. But and they're also looking for two male twins. When I look for twins, I usually look for females, but that just tells you about the producers of that
show.
Well,
you know, you and...
When I look for twins, I look
for
left and right.
You guys could go down there as twins because, you know, like Arnold and Danny DeVito.
Yeah. Oh, we should probably do that. Me and Dirk should go as twins. That'd be funny. but apparently, though, they are looking for people. I guess they want to have some kind of biker thing or biker war or biker this or biker that.
It's going to be the Sons of Anarchy Undead.
Yeah, the Sons of Anarchy Undead, something like that.
The sons of unsons of our anarchy,
or maybe they'll do
crap. How about Sons of Dead.
Sons of Dead.
Sons of Dead. Oh, that's the Bumpus's dogs. Anyways, yeah. But so yeah, I just kind of thought that was kind of cool. Like I said, I would probably be putting out for it, but they were like, "No fatty survived." And I think Walking Dead. I think they're only like a year into the zombie apocalypse or something.
My daughter said the same thing, but that little kid
has grown up.
Has aged like 10 years, and
well, no, only one of the kids. The son who started out at like 8 is now like 14. But the baby who was just born is still not talking, or is still like it has only aged like 4 months.
Yeah, it's and like you said, there's the craziness about how they don't protect themselves as well. That's why I watch it intermittently.
Yeah,
if I'm flipping around and there's nothing else I want to watch, I'll watch it.
Look, here's my word of advice: if you want to survive a zombie apocalypse, you need a deuce and a half. Who cares how many zombies are coming down the road? You throw that dude, you lock up the axles, and you go. There ain't a bunch of dead people go to move that thing over. You just keep driving and climbing, driving and climbing. And if there's some live people in there, hey, they should have got out of the way. That's just my opinion. Ken, you're not into zombies, are you?
No, not at all. Not
that's
no
why least, we're talking about
and
this
when you
on start your
about
birthday.
Deuce and a half, I thought you were talking about what you left in the bathroom downstairs.
That's a very large army.
You know
truck,
what I forgot to get? I forgot to get toilet paper while we were out.
Oh, good. Good to know.
Supermarket. Do not blow up the bowl today.
Yes.
With
great.
That.
Then you probably shouldn't eat cat food.
Yeah. I did eat cat food for dinner. That's true.
Well, speaking of dead. I ran across a product. Well, it's not actually a product yet.
Dead product?
A product for dead bikers.
Yes.
Catfish?
Kind of.
Yeah. Okay. I'm listening.
A guy has applied for a patent for a device to allow you to put the ashes of your dearly departed biker or dearly departed loved one into a customized part on your motorcycle so you can have them ride with you wherever you go.
Where on the bike would this
be? Well, either as a points cover or as the clutch cover. Now, you can buy specialized covers now for either one of those parts.
Right,
too.
Right.
You know, like I have airborne wings on my army bike, and you can do other things. But he's crafted a device that allows you to put your ashes.
It's got like a little pocket in there.
It's got a little pocket in there so you can fill full your dead ashes.
Just dump them
in
your
saddlebag?
It would have to be.
Yeah, that'd be pretty solid.
Not necessarily.
Solid.
It doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be, because who's going to look and say and weigh how much of Uncle John is there or whatever?
And if you're watching,
A, you could stash your drugs there, or B, you could make it a flask. It would be a pretty pimp.
Well, no, it'd be awful hard as a flask, because that part gets hot.
Well, yeah, but I don't understand the points cover thing.
I don't know who could get their lips around the
but I'd marry her when I found her.
Oh, I don't understand the points cover thing. What, you wouldn't want ashes down inside where your electronics are.
The cover is rigged up so it has a little space in it that you can put the ashes.
Oh, okay.
And then you put a new gasket on it and put
so
it back
this
on.
Is for the ashes of very tiny people?
Well, I guess
because it's not much.
My ashes wouldn't fit in that.
No, no. The ashes of an adult
you
would
only,
not fit
you only
in
put
that.
The ashes that you want to take.
See,
so you select the choice ashes.
Like,
put
I just want
there.
His head.
What do you do with the rest of them?
Well, you scatter them behind you as you ride your bike down the highway.
Gotcha.
And I
thought maybe the ashes were somehow being used in manufacturing of the part.
And while we're talking, some of these pictures would show up on the screen. So you
they
guys
haven't
can't
yet.
See.
Just so you know.
Which one would you like?
It was
that one there. Move that
one of them.
There we go. We moved one over there. So if you're looking at it, it's pretty much.
So right there at the clutch cover is, you know, just like any of those other.
So yeah, it's pretty much like
fancy
like a colostomy bag for your bike.
For dead people.
For dead people.
I do kind of like that though.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know who I'd put. I might put a dog in there. Something I cared about. Probably not a person.
Even a dog, I don't think would fit
now
in
now,
would
you take part of Ken's ashes and put it in there? I'm sure you would.
I want to choose the parts.
No,
he wouldn't.
Ken was like, if I ever die, I know my wife's going to want to flush me, but cremate me and spread me at Sturgis is what he asked me.
I want to be turned into a fuel additive.
I was like, don't worry, Ken.
We'll add it to your Volkswagen.
I'm going to take Ken's ashes and put them around a tree at the
dog first park. Of all, I'm not being cremated. I don't want to be cremated. All that spattering and the popping and everything bothers me. So
yeah, but it kills the lice and crabs.
I don't care about them. I want them to go with me.
So do you think this is a product that either the Cossacks or the Bandidos would be in the market for in Texas?
No, I don't think so.
Probably not. How are you going to fit the bullets in there?
There was some...
Yeah, so we had a...
Here comes the death threats.
It reminds me of the Big Lebowski. Did you see the Big Lebowski? Okay, you know, the guy who died...
Horrible movie.
But funny as hell. Funny,
no,
horrible.
No, it really was.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I thought it was funny as hell.
I literally...
Well, I love when the guy dies at the end, they sprinkle his ashes on the cliff and it all blows back in their face, remember? It's great.
That was just a horrible movie.
I loved it.
Well, here in the U.S., it's just a day ago now. Yeah, so it hasn't been very long. Right?
Wasn't it Sunday?
Yes, Sunday. So yeah, it was Sunday. Ago. So 2 days ago. So
it's
a day ago in the grand
scheme of things. It was just like yesterday.
Recently.
It was like yesterday.
It was a Monday. Recently. A day like any other day. I left the small town for the apple and decay. Jeez.
Okay. Help us.
Anyway, we had a biker gang shootout in Waco, Texas.
Oh, I don't know. According to Facebook, it was the police attacking them.
Well, they had determined that the police did kill someone.
Number one, on the doghouse, we don't use the term gang.
Yes,
we do. They're biker clubs.
They're
biker clubs.
Yeah, because that's a connotation somebody else gives who doesn't really know what they're doing and just assumes that's what they're doing. Yeah.
Well, it turns out that the Bandidos and their associate club, the Vaqueros, and the Cossacks with their accessory club, the Scimitars.
Okay.
We're meeting to have a discussion at the Twin Peaks for the Confederation of Clubs, Region 1, Texas, to work out their issues on recruiting and who could wear the Texas bottom rocker.
I guess they didn't work them out.
Well, according to police, another club came in and stirred up the trouble between all of them. So, but who knows what's actually going on right now.
Here's what I want to say. And my Facebook, my Twitter, even my phone has been going off the hook on this. What do you think? What do you think? You know, and of course, there's all these people out there saying, oh, you know, look at the way they treated the white biker gangs versus the blacks in Baltimore. And I mean, there's all kinds of politicizing this. Here's what I want to say. I have been to Confederation of Club meetings. I've been to Club Coalition meetings. And most of the time when you go to them, a neutral club hosts them.
And
something like Bikers for Christ, Christian Motorcycle Association, and the NAMM
Knights, because I did see a couple NAMM Knights patches in some of the photos.
I didn't see who might have been hosting it. You know, because I looked at it and I thought, you know, but the one thing that I do know is I've never been to any of those meetings where it was more than two or three members from each club. And they were talking that one of the clubs had 75 guys there.
Ooh, that's a recipe for trouble.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Well, they arrested 170. But
one had like 75, one had 50. You know, to me that just says bad planning. You know, not using, if you're trying to work things out, having to control 72 other people.
Well, I'm not 100% positive based on some of the reporting, and you know what that's worth
nowadays. The reporting's not worth anything.
That it was really a let's work it out type of thing because
you don't bring the rank and file members to a meeting like that.
No. Right. You bring and they officers. Were rank and file guys.
That's right. You just bring officers.
Right. And so I kind of...
We learned that from Sons of Anarchy.
No, I mean, that's just common sense.
God. I told you to mute his mic. You wouldn't do it, would you, Dirk? You don't listen to me.
Too late.
But common sense tells
you that if you bring all the rank and file, some that are trying to make a name for themselves, and you put them against other guys and other ones that are trying to make a name for themselves, they're going to be sitting there, you know, pissing and moaning each other and
just having them sit outside, it's too volatile.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what was really going on there. I wasn't there. I don't know anybody was there. I read on Facebook, apparently everybody I know knows somebody who was there.
Yeah.
But, you know, and one, somebody's trying to convince me that there was no shooting until the cops came in and started shooting.
The only club
and that happens all the time.
Yeah, the only club that I recognized their name was the Bandidos.
Well, I recognized the other ones because I've been down in that area.
The Cossacks? I had never even heard of them.
Yeah, they're not a very big club. You know,
well, according to all the articles, they're as big as the Bandidos in Texas.
And they do that
in
weird.
Texas, yeah, but outside of Texas, they're not a very, you know.
Yeah, but aren't they? Aren't those the Cossacks? The one that Putin just sent out to travel over Europe?
No, that wasn't the Cossacks. That would be funny.
That was
though.
The Night Wolves.
It should have been the Cossacks.
They would have got the job done.
Yeah.
You don't hear nothing about Polish people being scared of those people. But yeah, there's just something. You know, I wasn't there. I don't know what was going on. There's just something weird about the whole thing.
Yeah, there's more to this story.
There's more to this story.
I don't think we'll ever know. You don't show up with 40-plus members for a meeting like that. There was something else going on.
Yeah, there definitely was something
else going on. That they wanted that it was going to be worked out or not worked out, as it were, between two clubs, and somebody else showed up, probably to back up maybe one of the other clubs, or maybe to get...
Maybe to stir the pot. You know, I mean, that does happen.
Well, that's what, as I said a few moments ago, you had the two main clubs with their associate club, and then the report says that a fifth one came in.
And you would never bring your associate club with you to a meeting like that.
You shouldn't.
You would
bring officer. Like, meetings like that are usually just officers.
Yeah, I don't think you'd bring your sub, the guys that are a member of your sub, with you to a meeting like that. If you're trying to work out between the Cossacks and the Bandidos, granted, we don't know what the working of the inner workings of the club are, but I would think that that'd be worked out between those guys. Your sub clubs are going to do what you tell them to do.
Yeah, pretty
much.
So
you don't need them there. And if they're there, and plus all your other members are there, so there's more to this story.
There's a lot more to this, and will we ever know what really happened? I don't know.
Well, I think we'll definitely figure out who killed who.
In this case, because of the number of people that were injured.
Yeah, you know, I mean, all right, I just mean like some of the details of what was going on.
Somebody will spill the beans.
Somebody's going to spill the beans.
Someone's going to say, yeah, this was what was planned to happen all along. My guess is that it's going to be, one club figures that they're going to get it their way, other clubs think they're going to get it this way.
Give it 18 months, there'll be a book about it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Written from the inside.
Exactly.
Yeah, and usually that's written by somebody who
wasn't
there.
Or we'll just make it up right around.
Right, you know.
We'll do a show about it and tell the truth.
Yeah, there we go.
As we see it.
You know, so I don't know, you know, I mean, however many people died, it just still wasn't as many that the ATF killed in Waco, so I don't know what the big deal is.
Not even close.
I mean, barely a third.
Mm-hmm. But more injured.
That's true. Because the government doesn't leave injuries. They
kill
everybody.
That's exactly right.
You know, but I don't know what the deal is. It was club business, you know, and all these people were saying, it was dangerous. No outsiders got hurt. It was not like Baltimore. They didn't destroy. The only thing they destroyed was a restaurant that was probably foolish for letting them in anyways.
Well, did they destroy the restaurant?
Well, yeah, I mean, they were shooting it up and stabbing people in there.
Yeah,
I've been in bar fights. Yeah,
a couple pieces of furniture and a little bit of mopping. I mean,
a little bit of mopping, a little bit of plaster.
That ain't like places that the fire department has come in and put out.
Right, yeah, you know, and stuff like that.
It's the building is still there.
Right.
Yeah, I just think in general, you know, bike clubs usually when they settle scores don't take it into the public.
Right.
Or whatever
it was
going on.
It's usually just one or two on one, you know, shots from the dark and that kind of stuff.
It's usually not in...
Public like this.
My guess is that it was picked to be a public place specifically for security, for somebody wanted
right,
the security.
Apparently, it
didn't work out so well.
Right. And that was... Well, because if you're having a meeting to settle differences, like you said, why are the rank and file?
Right, exactly.
Well, there was 170 people arrested, and each one of the 170 has $1 million bail to get out.
So they're building a new. They're building a new.
There's a party in Waco.
A new municipal building going into Waco, Texas.
And I heard this on my way to the studio. Three of them were released for $50,000 bonds because they got their names mixed up with some other prisoners. So now they've put a warrant out for their rearrest so they can get them back and get their $1 million bail.
Oh.
That just doesn't seem right. If I got bailed out and you're coming to rearrest me on the same charge, No,
they released them under somebody else. They thought it was the other person that only had a $50,000 bail.
Well, that's not my problem. You're stupid.
Yeah, but they can legitimately rearrest
you. Yeah, but that's still not my problem.
Well, and this is what really got me pissed off. You know, I understand the bikes and the clubs and the police and who shot who. That's all great news stuff. There's two things.
I don't think it's such great news stuff.
Well,
especially not for the guys that got shot and injured.
We got 15 minutes out of it, so that's
pretty good. Yeah, but I don't look at it like that. I just was talking about it because there's so many people talking
out. But from Joe Civilian's point of view, guy who's not a member of a biker club, not a one percenter, what pissed me off more than anything about it is that the Waco police has shut down the Waco Harley-Davidson dealership for 2 days.
And which I don't
get. Because there's so many Harley recalls that nobody can get their bike fixed. Oh, no.
That pissed me off. Then they also said, we don't want bikers of any type riding around Waco for the next couple of days.
Well, what they said was, if you're riding around on your bike, you're going to be pulled over and talked to. That's what they said.
Which is illegal.
Yeah.
Unless you have something.
It's called every jurisdiction in the country.
It's illegal.
It's not.
Both of those things were illegal.
It's not illegal to profile motorcyclists. It's not.
It is.
The only reason they do it all the time. You ever been to a biker only?
Well, no. Virginia actually has a law that it is against the law to stop someone just because they're on a motorcycle.
Okay.
I mean, they passed the law.
About half the state said
that. My argument against that was, did they shut down the county offices when the ATF killed all those people in Waco?
Or do they shut down a Ford dealership when there's a drug drive-by when they're using a Focus?
Yes.
Or
did people actually drive by in a Focus?
Well, it's a push-by.
Somebody robs an ATM
not
with
a getaway
pickup truck.
Car.
Do they make their old pickup truck drivers stay home?
I mean, closing down the Harley dealer, a couple things. Number one, is that even legal for the police to close down a private business?
I went to their website, and they said, based on the police asking us to
close
down.
That's what I heard, too. I'd heard the police requested they be closed for a couple days.
I don't get that.
No, because I agree. I think that's stupid of them to do that. But my first thought was, why? What's the reason? Why did they ask? Did they ask the local Kawasaki dealer to close down? Did they ask the local
The bigger thing
Polaris
is,
dealer
from
to
what
shut
I understand,
down?
Most of the guys weren't local. So it wasn't like they were going to be going to the Harley. They weren't local.
They weren't local, and even if they were going to go to the Harley Davidson dealership, it's not like, oh, because there's a Harley dealer there, we're going to have another incident there.
Right. Chances are they wouldn't have it there.
Yeah,
just
probably
because
wouldn't.
It's a Harley.
Yeah, right.
If I lived in Waco, I would be on my bike with my GoPro cam on, and every time I got pulled over for no reason, because I'd make sure my tags and everything were up to date.
Yeah.
And I got pulled over 100 times because I'm just riding back and forth in front of Twin Peaks. Hey, I'm going to make myself rich.
Yeah, but wasn't Texas... It's a good thing it wasn't in Maryland.
This is like one of those that go on YouTube.
Oh, whoa, 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 what's with the language?
No, that's enticing right there.
No, listen, Warren should be arrested for doing that. I agree.
That's like open carry people that go around on YouTube.
Yes.
And I'm fine with that, too.
Well, see, Warren only does that because...
there is a rule.
Warren only does that
because
he's never been arrested. Warren, once you're arrested, you realize that the actual arrest is worse than
wait. You, first of all, you don't know Warren has never been
Look
arrested.
Look at him. He's wearing a green shirt.
He could have, yes, but he could have been
is
arrested.
Is it blue?
It's green.
It's green, by the way.
It's green, right.
and it's pale green. And you should be arrested because we were going to do green screen. But
yes.
You don't know how many times Warren might have been picked up by the military police, right?
I refuse to answer that question.
Okay, see?
Yeah, military.
You know, because wearing
military
the skirt
prison,
in public is
military
not allowed.
Prism
in the military.
And the county pokey way different.
Ooh, could be worse. Actually, could be worse.
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, it's just wrong. It is absolutely wrong to do that. And I think we're running a little long on this segment. So, if you guys are living down in Waco and you got to want to give us
Warren
some information,
wants you to go get arrested.
Go on our Facebook page and throw some stuff up about what's going on down there.
You know, please don't.
Please why not? Don't.
Because I don't want our Facebook page to be all these rumors like hands up, don't shoot.
Let's start some of our own.
Biker lives matter.
Right, let's start some of our own.
Hashtag biker lives matter.
Yeah, there were three bikers at this event you hear that actually got shot after putting their hands up. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, all right, let's start our own rumors like that. Because, you know, other than anything else we do, it's just complete speculation. It's a shame 9 people died. Why it happened, who knows? I don't know what else to say.
Well, I mean, what happened is you take 3 1% clubs and put them all together. And you're going to have four of them. Four of them, then you're going
to
have...
Well, we should probably go to break, right? Dirk is looking at us like
he's playing
time-wise.
Probably playing the music saying, you guys have been out
here.
Yeah,
it's time to get out of here.
All right, we're done. Welcome back to the doghouse, where microwave pork rinds are considered the top of the food chain.
Yeah, that is true.
That's a good point. I should have had that. That would have been a good birthday cake.
That would have been a pork rind. You know, I was gonna send the Mexicans next door to get them a birthday cake, but I think they're Guatemalan, so I don't think they have birthdays in Guatemala.
Yeah, I don't. You know, you had the cat food today. I don't even know where
Yeah, I did eat cat food today.
I don't
but it
want
was good.
Something's just not right about what you guys are saying there about him eating cat food.
You should see what he ate.
Right. It was no, it was Captain Morgan's barbecue sauce on pulled pork, but totally did look like cat food.
Yeah, it didn't look like pulled pork.
It
looked
it
like
tasted good.
Yeah, it looked like pre-digested pork.
It does sound
like
it looked like
pre-digested pork.
It was pre-digested.
Oh my god! All right,
it
anyway,
wasn't that good. Phil didn't
I'm gonna
eat
move
it
all. Back to motorcycles because this is went down a street I didn't want to go down. Speaking about riding on streets, like that one?
No.
Anyway, Honda.
I couldn't resist saying no.
No, I said, speaking of skid marks, that I'd understand.
The skid marks, I understand.
That makes sense.
Well, the Honda Africa Twin is coming back out. It's been gone for quite a while. You know, it was, and it's following the legacy of the original Honda XR Series 650 and other XRs that they had. And it's been gone for quite a while, but now it's coming back. And they're teasing us with a few photos that they've released lately, but there is no real description about what it's going to be. But if you look at the pictures, which are probably going to be up on the post right now.
You know, they say a picture says a thousand words.
It says
right?
A thousand words.
So let's, we'll be quiet for the next 4
right,
minutes.
Exactly. Yeah,
I don't know if I can get 1,000 words out of it, but.
That looks, the pictures.
And it looks like Iron Man from the front.
The pictures kind of look.
Iron Man.
Pictures
Iron
look
Man
like an artist's rendering.
Those are actual photos.
They are actual photos.
That's what
huh?
It says.
Those are photos of the artist's rendering.
Yes, right.
I have actually done that.
It does have a parallel twin engine. It's going to come with a version of the Honda dual clutch transmission system. Now, I don't know what that is.
Ooh, that's probably what they have in their MotoGP bikes.
That's seamless transmission.
Same thing. Dual clutch would be seamless.
Mm-hmm. Would it?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Thank you. All right, there's one thing I know is clutches and how not to use them.
Okay.
I thought it was crutches. Clutches. Anyway, so it also has dual headlights and inverted forks, but you can tell by the pictures. So there's not really a lot out there about it yet, but it is coming and coming soon. And it is coming to America, supposedly. Which will make
we're not in the racing segment right now, but apparently there's a time limit on the seamless transmission for Honda, and it ran out apparently.
It did run out this week.
Yeah.
That's true.
I think the season ran out.
And my points went the same direction.
Yeah.
And on a different story, if you happen to be in the military, because Armed Forces Day was just a few weeks ago here in the United States, and our Memorial Day is this coming weekend. Both are holidays that recognize the military.
It's Memorial Day this weekend?
It is this weekend.
Wow.
I'm going to Summit Point to watch some CCS racing this weekend.
Okay.
Because we got invited. You might be because we were invited on Twitter by the No Agenda Racing team.
Oh, cool. Well, I don't have that agenda, so.
Oh, apparently Ken has an agenda. But I will be there at Summit Point, West by God, Virginia.
Smile when you say it.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday? I don't know. A day. I will let you know, Durka. I might have my chauffeur take me over there.
Okay. Cool.
In his gold-plated bed Cadillac thing.
Okay, cool.
Well, anyway, beginning this past Armed Forces Day, which is a couple weeks ago, through September 13th of this year, if you're a military, active duty, or retired, you can go to Harley-Davidson and get your riding certificate for free.
Not
participate
in Waco, Texas.
Except in Waco.
Except in Waco. Today. We ain't coming out, Texas.
So, yeah, which is, I thought it was a pretty good deal from Harley-Davidson. So you can go to their riding academy, take your lessons, get your certificate, go to your DMV and get your cert.
Yeah.
So They're doing it for free for a few months for active and retired military.
Yeah, and they give you a bike, too.
No.
When you get... Oh, they sell you a bike.
They'll sell you a bike at the end of the course.
For double the price of what you can buy.
They'll provide you one for the course, during the course.
How patriotic of them.
And for $99 a month, you can get a Street 750.
And they, for $25, you can buy a Harley Davidson shirt with an American flag on it.
That's right.
Oh, no, no, no. That's $35.
That's because it's $35.
Oh, yeah. All right. That makes sense.
That's right. Because it's like $8 a color on Harley shirts.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. I got a few of those. Yeah.
Warren's like, everybody told me to collect them, but I can't sell them.
I don't collect a t-shirt. I only buy them if they're something I really like. Now, what I do collect is the dealership pins, and they're only $5 a piece, so they're not that bad.
They're not that bad.
But that's
called a loss leader.
Yes.
Okay, they only charge $5 because they figure when you're in there, you're going to buy something that costs $105.
Yeah. Hey, I'm pretty good at resisting
that. Are you going to Rolling Thunder this weekend, speaking of stuff?
It depends on the weather, which it looks like it's going to be pretty great this weekend. So if it's good, I might go. But I'm definitely going to go to the Harley Davidson of Fort Washington because that's where they're having the big hog. Oh, I got a nasty look for something.
Yeah. Wow.
I think the look was whether they'll be there or not.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I think it's still underwater, as I remember correctly.
They bailed it out. The Hog organization, the Harley Owners Group, has a big meet there.
Well, every year they do that.
Yeah, so I'm going to probably go up there for that, at least. Okay. That'll be the minimum what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Well, if you go down to Rolling Thunder, this will be the first time in a long time I haven't made it. Grab me one of the pins if you go.
If I go, I will.
Yeah. Not the Harley pins, the Rolling Thunder pins. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the Harley pins. No. Okay. If you see a BMW pin, I definitely want that to put on the wall next to you.
All right. So we're going to go out to a quick break, and then from that, we're going to come back into the racing news.
Because we got a lot to talk about.
Got a lot of, the guys went to Moto America this past weekend at VIR. There was a lot of happening in MotoGP, and I lost a bunch of points again. Damn you, Mark Marquez.
Yep.
And, I didn't do too bad in Moto2. My guy did all right there.
That's the only thing that saved your behind.
All right, so stay tuned. Come back, bring pork rinds.
Back here on the Doghouse. I really like that song coming in. Got like this nasty funky groove. We should have listened to that on the way down to VIR this weekend. Where is Moto America was at? In Virginia. They came with their whole kit and caboodle. There was a lot of people there Saturday and Sunday compared to their other races. Not a huge crowd, but definitely bigger than what they've had the last the last round, obviously, and they had
great weather this weekend.
They had great weather this week.
Hard to get a big crowd out when it's pouring down the rain.
Yeah, that is true. And we got to spend a lot of time down there, and it was cool. There was a couple things that were really cool. You know, Ken and I, we've been covering the motorcycle racing, Ken even longer than me, for a while now, and we haven't been to a American Series race. The last person to go was me in 2010.
Right.
You know, and it was weird because we don't really see people. You know, everything we do is radio. And when I watched the races and stuff, the guys are in there, you know, they got their helmets on and this and this. We're walking by people going, all right, who's that? Okay, who's that?
I'm sorry, but I don't have to correct you. First of all, I was actually surprised because we do see pictures of them online.
I don't look.
We see interviews of them on the races.
Yeah, but I mainly read and listen more than I watch. I don't watch post-race interviews.
I know
on
you
TV.
Look at pictures, Phil, because that's what you spend a lot of time when you're not in the studio doing.
Yeah, but okay. Not of Motor America races.
Okay.
Yeah, he can recognize other things real well.
The first thing was, and I gave him a really hard time about this when we were down there.
Is who is Paul Carruthers?
Yeah, it's Paul Carruthers because everybody down there looks like Paul Carruthers, but there were a few
Paul Carruthers.
There were a few people that didn't look like Paul Carruthers.
Yes.
And one of them was a 2-time world superbike champion that Phil did not recognize.
Totally did not recognize.
He did not recognize him. And Phil said, he looks familiar, but I don't know why. I said, Phil, that's the Texas Tornado.
Yeah. That's Colin Edwards.
That's Colin Edwards. And Phil did not recognize him. And well, right off the bat, we already knew he was going to be one of the Moto America.
You know, guys. I wasn't thinking that, though. That was not clicking in my head. I think the coolest thing was when we first got there, right? We see Wayne Rainey. We come out of the press building, you know, walk in there and stuff. We come out, and there's Wayne Rainey talking to this guy, right? And he's talking
at least we knew it was Wayne Rainey.
Right. And he was sitting there, and he was like, talking to the guy, and I said to Ken, I said, we should at least go up, say hi, tell him great interview, blah, blah. So we walked over, waited our turn, you know, after that guy was done. And we started talking to him. And now, of course, I don't have the tripod. I don't have the camera out or anything like that. Ends up being like a 15-minute conversation about all kinds of things.
It was, I don't know what we were being stupid.
Well, we were just saying hi.
You know, we're still getting
Phil,
used to this video
when we talked
thing,
to Wayne
so I'm
Rainey,
not going to hold it against
we
you.
Didn't have that stuff with us. It was still in the truck.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. We didn't have it.
What happened was we went down there.
Did you have your phones with you?
Okay, point.
They all have video cameras on them.
You know what?
Point taken. Okay.
Wait, is the thing on? There you go, Warren, right there. Right.
So we
thought we were just saying hi.
And we were checking out. We were checking out the media center, and we were actually looking for not Paul Carruthers at the time.
We were looking for a guy who did look like Paul Carruthers, but wasn't.
And so when we came out of the media center, there was Wayne Rainey there talking to apparently a chiropractor.
Yes. Because we were like, all right, well, who's that guy?
Yes.
Because everybody was going up to talk to this guy.
This guy was the most important person in the past.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for Josh Herron, we still wouldn't know who that guy was.
That's right. That's right.
You know, we were like, who? Like, Josh Herron's like, I need to talk to that guy. And I'm like, who is he? He's like, oh, he's a chiropractor. I was like, ah.
Yeah.
But we had a great conversation with Wayne Rainey there.
We did.
Off the bat, like, you know, he was just happy people were there. And, you know, remember doing the interview, and we were kind of talking back and forth.
He
with
actually
him.
Did remember us.
Yes.
Oh yeah. No, he was like, oh yeah, I remember. But you know, but it was weird because I had a hard time recognizing the racers and people. Nobody knew what we looked like.
Oh, absolutely not.
We were like incognito until we said who we were.
Josh Hayes might have known what we looked like.
Josh Hayes,
because he was avoiding us.
He did. That was after Ken made some jerk comments.
I made one comment, and it wasn't a jerk comment. Well, first of all, we should mention that when we got down there, it was just as the morning practice was ending.
Yes.
In Superbikes, and we got there, and Josh Hayes had a pretty massive get off in the first practice.
We'll put some pictures of up on a YouTube video.
Pretty
we're
much
do.
Destroyed his bike.
Yeah.
And when we
and were, he was walking around like old man
he was
walking.
Hurting. Oh yeah, he was,
so
hurt.
He was looking for the chiropractor.
Yeah, he was hurt.
He was looking for a place to cry.
He was looking for a drink, I think.
Yeah, I think a bourbon would have been better.
Yeah, so we came up to him and saw he destroyed his bike and everything. We introduced ourselves and everything, and the only comment that I made, which I don't think was that big of a jerk comment, was I said, I looked at the bike was torn. I said, man, that had to hurt. And he said, yeah, primarily my ego.
And then he walked away and avoided us the rest of the
weekend. It was like, yeah, screw you guys.
I was like, oh, very nice, Ken.
I didn't think that was a jerk comment.
Very nice, apparently.
Because obviously, the bike, well, we're going to do some pictures. The bike was torn up.
And he was, I took a picture because I was just shocked. He was struggling to walk and some little, like, 5-year-old kid wanted an autograph, and he's down there taking the pictures, and you can tell he's like struggling to smile.
Oh yeah, he's having a hard time. And Phil got some good picture. I got one picture of the bike; it wasn't a very good one, but Phil got a bunch of pictures of the bike and everything like that. He just, you know, he was taking the pictures of the bike. He said, Josh, can you move over a little? We're trying to get pictures of the bike.
No, I got away. Oh, no.
But I'm the jerk.
I didn't do that.
I'm the jerk.
I didn't do that. Oh, I just said, hey, dumbass, you're in the way.
Ken's not going to tell us a lie.
Yeah, that's right.
But no, that's not what actually happened, allegedly.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, so that was what it is. You know, I mean, he obviously was having a bad morning, and we were just not the jerks he wanted to
Well, you know, but he did get to talk to us, so he did get the benefit of talking to the doghouse guys.
And he got his wins,
we just kind of gave that away.
And Heron got
yeah,
a win.
Yes, he did.
Well, I just wanted to mention the fact that he went out that afternoon after destroying that bike. He went out that afternoon and was the fastest that afternoon.
Yep.
And he qualified on the pole.
So he did find a chiropractor.
No, I don't think he found a qualifier. He got the doghouse blessing. Believe me, it works good.
And it's Josh Heron.
Yeah.
You know, super sport bike.
Doesn't work in Moto 2, apparently, but it works in...
No, it does not work in Moto 2.
But it works in super sport and super bike.
But we had a good time. I got to hang out a little bit with Bobby Fong, who apparently is Asian, even though some of the people in the paddock thought he was Mexican and South American.
He claims he's not Asian. I thought it was pretty funny. He goes, no, I'm not Asian. He says, my father is Filipino and Chinese.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, sounds pretty Asian to me. That's okay. Last time I checked, both of them in Asia.
So he's the non-Asian Asian is what I'm going to refer to him as.
Right,
but
yeah.
He was actually really good and put up with me being a jerk. So that was kind of cool.
And if you want to see that, you can go to our YouTube page because the interview with him
interview.
And others up there.
Yeah, and
Cam Bouvier.
Even besides that, we talked to a lot of other people that we didn't actually.
That we didn't have the video of.
We didn't have the video up for. We talked to a lot of other people in there.
So Jake Zemke floating around the
pits.
Yeah,
Chris, we talked to Chris Ulrich a little bit and his dad.
Yep.
Both who've been on the show, so that was kind of good.
We talked to Chris Ulrich, and he had a tumble too.
Yeah, he did.
And,
yeah,
you know, and he was, you know, he was kind of hurt.
Well, people were falling around everywhere.
Yeah,
a lot of people had get offs in the morning practice apparently on Friday.
Yeah,
so.
You know, and we talked to just a bunch of people walking around because there's a bunch of people there we've interviewed, but they don't know us from Adam.
Right.
You know, and
because we usually don't send pictures out in advance,
but I might
because we don't want to scare them off.
This isn't the Jetsons; we don't have picture phones.
Yeah, you know, well, that we shut up.
Yeah,
you and your, I'm going to throw my mouth at you.
Yeah, really.
But you know, we do have, you know, so we got a lot of good inside stuff, and it was good putting faces and names and stuff with people because we just really haven't done that.
Yeah, it's good because that we're just a voice on the other end of the phone for a lot of these people. So now they got to meet us and see we really are as much jerks as we
that
sound
we are
like.
The jerks that we come off on the air, which was kind of good.
But it was good, and we actually got a very good, very positive reception from the Moto America people. So thank you for their hospitality. They were really good to us.
They were really good to us.
They pretty much gave we had complete full access, not anywhere complete. Yeah.
And
we wanted to go.
And we kind of I screwed up a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't realize until we got back. When I actually took the time to look at the program and stuff, because I picked one up, but I grabbed the press clocks and stuff out of the schedule out of the media center, which just has the racing stuff, right? But the stunt team was actually guys who had come on No Filter with me back in early January, and we could have been hanging out and emceed the stunt show that they had going on, but I didn't realize it was the same guys.
Yeah. I think this is the same guy that told me at another event I could have been a judge at the bikini contest, but you know we didn't.
You didn't show up.
I know I did show up as a
Where
matter
was that?
Of fact.
Damn you, Phil!
It's a few years ago.
Oh yeah, that's all he says. You know, a few years ago, he doesn't remember.
I honestly don't remember.
What'd you have for lunch? Yeah, he's just making stuff up to make me look bad right now.
Give him a break. 1947 was a long time ago.
You're lucky it's your birthday. I'd really. Tear into you on that.
Right.
But you know the racing was good. You know
Josh Heron was when we interviewed Josh Heron, he was waiting to see that chiropractor guy.
Yeah.
And so we had a little window to talk to him in there. Unfortunately,
Ken took it all. And the chiropractor guy walked away.
No, unfortunately, somebody else kept the chiropractor.
Yeah, Bobby Fong did. Bobby Fong stopped up to the plate for the doghouse.
That's right. He took one for the team.
Made sure we got a 5-minute. He
took one for the team.
He did. No, he didn't take one for the team, man. He realized, hey, those guys are trying to talk to Josh Heron. I'm tired of the chiropractor.
So we got to talk a lot to Josh Heron, which was kind of good. And actually got to mention, you know, Zarco and how good he's doing. That was his teammate last year on Caterham. So it was
he didn't punch Ken.
And it was actually good. It was a good interview.
Really
it was a good interview. It was very friendly. And that was kind of good. And he went on then to win the first race.
Yeah.
And which, by the way, so because I saw a lot of stuff on Facebook, people don't know. It's not like it was in the old DMG and even past AMA days
right.
and scheduling. People are all upset the schedule weren't posted. But basically what they're doing is they're doing all their practices like on Friday, and they're doing and then they do I think
Super Sport and Super Sport 600 or Super Stock 600
qualifying.
No, Super Sport Race 1 was on Saturday too.
Okay.
Right, that was the last thing.
Right.
That was the last thing before qualifying. Now I don't remember.
Right.
Now my days all screwed up.
Right. And then Sunday, both Superbike races are on Sunday.
And then the second Super Sport race.
Right. And so Josh Herron won the first Super Sport race, and then J.D. Beach won the second.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that was one person who we didn't get to bump into.
Which we really liked, too. J.D. Beach had a really good weekend. He had a second and a first.
Yeah, and that's somebody who, at Barber, we're going to have to track
down. Right, definitely going to have to do that.
You know, but then, you know, we got to, like I said, we got to interview a bunch of people. We got to, more importantly, we got to go and talk around, and I just enjoy being in the paddock.
Yeah, made a lot of contacts.
Made a lot of contacts, but also just getting the little scutter butt around the paddock about where it's fast. They didn't race the full course. They raced what they call the north course, so they didn't go down by what was the old oak tree.
Yeah, it's
which
it's,
is what made for a good race.
Right, and it's still a pretty good course. It's like 2.8 miles versus 3.5 or not quite 3.5.
Yeah, something like that.
So it's 2/3 of the course.
How was VIR itself?
I mean, it's a nice facility. I mean, we've been there before. It's changed since the last time I was there because there's new buildings there that weren't there last time I was there.
You know, and VIR, well, you know, when you jack up the prices on your hotel 700%. sorry, was that, should I not?
That was out loud.
That was out loud.
Inside voice.
You know, they can build brand new buildings. And, you know, VIR puts on a good event. Price wise, with the hotel room, why am I still a little bitter about that? Yes, but really, when you come there, they're really good to, you know, we actually talked in the media center a little bit to Wayne Rainey and Paul Carruthers, the media guy from Motor America, about the event and stuff like that, and they were overly happy. You know, the guys from the TV shows, everybody was just.
So they want to come back next year.
Oh, they're already working on scheduling the date for next year.
Well, my next question for you guys would be based on our, you know, the rant that you had last week on the show, and if you want to,
we have
that
a picture of
ones,
where we stayed,
and that's going to be up on the
that's
Facebook
gonna be
and everything. So,
and we also have a picture of the Modus motorcycle pit.
We're going to have to find some banjo music to play while we show the place. We stayed,
oh yeah,
right?
We will have to
well,
find
I was
going to
ask you that. I said, and you know, you guys did say you didn't want to share a bed. I wanted to. Did you share a bed?
We wanted to ask whether or not this was the ancestral home of the Masseys, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We were like, actually, it was. I think the sign out front of it said, "Fart something." Fart outlet or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't remember what it was. It's in the photos. We have photos of all that stuff. But there was a, you know, the crowds for them, they were, Moto America was happy with the crowds. I wasn't. I will tell you,
yeah,
I wasn't.
I mean, I think for,
I was kind of embarrassed.
I mean, given the lack of any media in the Northern Virginia area at all.
None, that, zero.
And everybody we met was from Northern
Well, we did find out. We did find out why. That was because they decided that they were going. They hired a company that decided they were going to do all their media within a 300-mile radius. A 3-hour radius of the track, which eliminates all Northern Virginia.
Stopped at Charlotte.
Well, I was about to say, and that's in that area of Virginia is next to nobody.
Exactly.
Right. You know, I mean, that's right. All, that's exactly what we said.
They got their message out to all 30 people.
Yeah, we were like, and 10 of them can't afford to come.
I'd say more than that, at $700 a night.
$7,000 a night. We could have slept in Durka's bed. you know, and then there were some, like I said, the guys from No Agenda Racing, they're going to be at CCS, their CCS team. They were tweeting me back and forth. So those guys are out of Southern Maryland, you know. I mean, there were definitely was representation from outside that 3-hour area there. And that just kind of... You know, I mean, like I said, they seemed happy with the crowds. I was kind of embarrassed. You know, I mean, I kind of took that as like a personal, I don't know. I was a little embarrassed.
So you talked to them about advertising with us next year to try to get some...
Yeah, we talked to them about different things they should do.
Yeah.
And one of the one things we said that they should do is have Coke Zero in the media room.
I would have pushed for Dr. Pepper myself.
We talked to them about that.
Yeah, we did. I'm sorry. I meant to say Hoke Hero. Because we're not giving away free plugs.
Yeah, we told them they needed to be advertising in the Northern Virginia, but that's, you know, we told them. They hear it, you know, whether they're going to do it or not.
Whether they do it or not. You know, the Superbike race, Josh Hayes just dominated. Bouvier and Hayden swapped up second and third.
Right.
You know, Eslick had a good race. In the first race, Gagne had a pretty good race, and then his motor let go on the penultimate lap.
On the penultimate lap.
Oh, you get to use the word.
I know, and I was putting that out on Twitter, and even Jake Gagne.
He gets upset when people's engines let go in the final lap. He doesn't get to use it.
Yeah, but the penultimate lap is pretty good. Bouvier still has the points lead, but not by a lot.
No, not by much. It's definitely closing up.
The next place those guys go to is Road America. And one of the other things that we didn't really mention is that, there hasn't been a AMA race at Virginia International Speedway in 5 years.
Right.
You know, I mean, International Raceway in 5 years. So, it's hard to bring people back when the event's been canceled and stuff. The super stock bikes were fast, and one thing that I saw was in the super sport race, the second super sport race, JD's Beach's lap times would have put him on the podium, I think, in the super bike race. He was hauling.
He was just wow. Yeah.
VIR gets hot.
Yeah.
And that track gets slick. That track's a little slick to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And that track gets very slick when it gets hot and your tires just. And JD Beach was just using that flat track experience. And
a lot of the riders really like that track. They really all enjoy it. Yeah.
It's a great track.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nice facility, you know. And,
yeah. I posted a good aerial picture of the track in our Facebook page if you want to get an idea of what it looks like.
Did you use your personal drone for that?
No, that was Dirk's helicopter.
Yeah, he said that.
No, that was actually, I think that was, I want to say that was like a Porsche Cup weekend or something that photo was from.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But it was actually really, it was a good time. It was, you know, if you weren't there, you should have been. And, you know, try and go out and check out their events.
Yeah, next year you can go with us on the Doghouse bus down there.
Yeah, you know, maybe we'll do a bus. You know what we're thinking? If you're planning on going to Barber, hit us up on Twitter, either at Doghouse Radio, at Shift Point Mag, at Durka Durka Jihad, Durka. No, I don't know. I'm just making up a Twitter for Durka. But also at Not Paul Carruthers.
At Not Paul Carruthers.
Not Paul Carruthers, because we do have an inside joke going on. We didn't know who our media, you know, again, we're a radio show and do everything email and stuff. So we're like in the media center trying to figure out who's Paul Carruthers.
We did actually have a picture of him.
We did, but there was a guy that looked like him, but it wasn't him.
There was more than one.
And there was. It was like everybody looked like him.
He had about 15 doubles there.
Yeah, he was like Saddam Hussein. I think
intentionally so he could avoid people.
Especially us.
Right, yeah.
But we tracked him down. Yeah. And we saw Penn Jillette.
We did see Penn Jillette.
Or a guy who looked like him. Who else did we see? There's somebody else famous we saw.
Beyonce.
Yeah, there was somebody else. You're right.
I don't remember. Just before we saw Penn Jillette, because I was like, oh my God, there's Penn Teller.
Yeah.
And Ken's like smacking me and calling me an idiot.
Yeah.
But those guys, if we're going to go to Barber, and we're thinking maybe we'll do like a tweet up or something in Barber by one of the, you know, during, between the races or something like that. I said, just to hang out, let you guys cook us lunch or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever. You know, we'll just swing by or
Morton's
something.
Pulled pork.
Yeah, you know, whatever the local cuisine is down there. But so if you're going to Barber, follow us up on Twitter and stuff. Hit us up, you know, and we'll swing by. You know, that's one thing I wish we'd done a little bit more was get in contact with our fans that were down there and swing by and do that, because we like to.
Especially if you tell us there's food there.
Especially with this. I don't want to say we'll swing
by. If you say it's just, you know, if you just come by and pat us on the back, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to hear how great the show is.
I suggest food and Coke Zero.
Food at that show.
Food and Coke Zero, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, you can be like, your show sucks. You have a barbecue sandwich. I'll be like, you're right. I won't even argue that. I'll be like, yep, you're right.
Hand me the barbecue.
Yeah, hand me the barbecue. The only racer I actually do respect right now is Danny Eslick. We went around during lunchtime, and you know me, I'm always looking for the bacon. Danny Eslick, the only guy with bacon on his table.
And I didn't even catch it, so.
I know. I know you don't like the bacon.
No, because I was just enjoying being able, that Danny was so, he was
a great
he went out of his way to talk to us. It was nice.
And he got beat up by his girlfriend or whatever. Wife. I don't know what she was, but
she was nice too. She was nice too.
So
because a lot of times significant others aren't that friendly,
especially with people like us.
There. Especially because they look at us and say, "No,
they're really not media."
Is that Penn and Taylor?
Yeah.
Well, they look at us. You know, one thing that cracks me up, and I've done this in several different series and stuff, is this is the kind of stuff that I do. So I don't really do deadline anything. Right, and you can watch in the media center and on pit road. There's these guys, and in the pits areas, they're running around. They're trying to make their oh my god, the qualifying just started. I got to talk to this guy, this guy. Mm-hmm. You know, we're walking around like, oh hey, what's going on?
We're very leisurely about.
We didn't have to report on anything till Tuesday.
Right.
You know, they're like, hey, you want to talk? Nah, man, we got time. Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know, we'll take a stroll, which I like. That's the non-pressure about it, because I did do deadline one time, and oh my god, that was a nightmare. And I try not to do that. But all in all, it was a good time. J.D. Beach did take, with his win on Sunday, he did take over the points lead from Garrett Gerloff. Mm-hmm. And Google a picture of Garrett Gerloff's finger. Oh, my nubbinsness.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Pretty impressive that he had a pin put in the night before and then had a pretty impressive performance.
Yeah, and the thing was the size of a turkey leg. it was horrible.
Yeah.
But that's all I got to say about that. Are we good? Is that good for Moto?
Yeah, I think we covered everything. Yeah,
we'll be at Barber.
We just kind of mentioned it in passing, real quick. But yeah, Josh Hayes had a pretty dominating, and you know, if he continues,
he literally
like this,
stopped and signed autographs at the top of the roller coaster.
One of the actual real media people talked to him and said. Had a comment to him that was much worse than my comment to him.
Yes, bitterness.
She said, maybe you want to wreck every weekend now.
I don't know how he didn't punch her in the head. I kind of would have punched her in the head. You know, I guess the other thing I want to say is that, you know, in some ways it was good to see Dane Westby's bike out there.
Yeah, it was kind of sad.
It was also sad.
Because they had Dane Westby's bike out there sitting all kind of by itself.
Yeah. Mm.
And it was kind of sad.
It was.
And his girlfriend was there with a commemorative helmet, which
custom,
we got pictures of.
Yeah, we got pictures of that custom helmet. Mm-hmm. And apparently she's, at least was local. She's from like the Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Yeah, you said
area.
That. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that until after the fact. But yeah, but it was kind of good seeing that. Ken had to yell at people, you know, about the winner's circle. We might not ever be allowed in a winner's circle
That's
again.
Probably true.
That sounds too good. Yeah, you're going to have to go a little
bit
more.
No, that's going
to
be in the video because I can't really talk about that without showing what Ken found wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Ken was being, in my opinion,
it was a square, not a circle.
It's got a lot to do with geography. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, Ken was giving geography. Like, Ken was like, phone out, here's a geography lesson. You know, and of course he's saying that to like the security guard who's like, go away before I arrest you, because nobody of importance wanted to listen to us.
Right.
You know, so we'll talk about that in the video. I guess we should move on to motocross.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk motocross, MotoGP, the pool. We got World Superbike coming up next week in Donington.
Tough to pick.
Yeah. And Flat Track returns for the Springfield Mile.
Cool.
And I made a connection. And when the Isle of Man is over, we got a guy who in the media who is going to be over there covering it. He's going to call in and talk to us and tell us about the Isle of Man.
We got a contact as it is, too. Don't forget. We're going to get some videos, too.
Yeah, we do have that.
All right.
I guess we'll be back. Oh, the camera's on me.
Oh. Oh, God.
Come on.
Is there anything you don't like today? Other than Ken's
birthday?
Yeah, I don't
like what I had for dinner.
He doesn't like yeah. He doesn't like me.
Yeah, I'm pretty
all
good.
He doesn't like. All he can think of is meow, 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 meow.
Oh, that's probably gonna get us flagged.
Yeah, probably.
F you, YouTube. F you, YouTube. For flagging us. I'm surprised they haven't flagged us for that song because it kind of sounds like taking care of business.
That's true.
You know, I've been waiting for that to happen because YouTube seems to be, because everybody wants to make their nickel off the doghouse, mm-hmm. and we don't have it. I wish I could lie and say we did, but we just don't got it. So motocross started this weekend, which for some reason I thought they were starting next weekend in Glen Helen,
right.
but they were in Hangtown.
Hangtown,
which is basically Sacramento, California.
Or Hangtown.
Which is Sacramento, California. Okay. That's just the name of the track.
All right.
It's just up the street from Bartertown.
Okay.
And okay. Theft Town and Cattle Rustling Town.
Cut them downtown.
Downtown. So anyways, the 250s and the 450s ran, and you know, I like Hangtown. It's a pretty tough looking track.
Oh, it's a tough track because it's got a lot of elevation changes.
A lot of changes.
But it reminds me of actually a track not that far from here that's got some pretty decent elevation changes.
Are you talking about Butts Creek?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Butts Creek. Even though Butts Creek's like borderline the marsh,
yeah.
it does have a lot of elevation change in it.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. And you can be in a swamp or a flood or whatever.
Which is fun. You can be. You don't want to be there on a rainy weekend, but Hangtown's not bad.
Yeah. So anyways, at Hangtown, Musquin and Jeremy Martin, who were guys who we were excited to see show down in the 250 Supercross finales, they really stepped up and they had a good weekend. Martin did a 2-1 and Musquin a 1-2. You know, so they ended up tied in points, but because Martin had the later win,
right?
Of course, he takes the overall. He takes the overall. Adam C. and Sorolla was back. Didn't look bad
in the first race, he started off real good, then he dropped his bike.
Yeah, but he I think it was, what, a 3 and then a 37. I think it was the second race he dropped his bike. You know, but
No, he dropped his bike in the first race.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He did. He picked
in the second race, he forgot to get on it.
Yeah, that's right.
Then he took his mountain bike out or something like that. Aldridge had a good weekend.
Aldridge did have a good weekend, and I mean, he's one of those guys that I think he's going to – I expect him to have a good season. I really do.
Yeah, I do too. And I think Alex Martin does better outside than inside, and I expect to see him do a little bit better. Guys who I was not overly impressed with is Bogle and Webb.
Bogle in the first race, Bogle had the lead the beginning of the race, and then he lost it.
Then he lost
it. Big time.
And then he just kept falling back. Mm-hmm. And then in the second race, he was another guy who took his motocross, his mountain bike out or mm-hmm. something. I mean, geez.
Right.
And Webb, who, you know, he was just not.
Well, I mean, he's hurting. I mean.
And I don't understand
from the splinter he got in his pinky, I think, that kept him out of the East-West shootout?
Yeah.
You know?
Either they lied to us and didn't tell us the truth about why he sat out the East-West shootout.
Well, he's a lot more seriously hurt now.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I mean, he battled with Musquin for a little bit. Once Musquin got by him, it was like, goodbye.
It was like, why bother racing?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
You know, so he kind of punted, and that was kind of weird, but... You know, overall, I was glad to see them outside. I like them when they run outside. I like them when they run inside. I just like them. You know, and I thought the 250s looked like it should be pretty exciting. And
it's going to be a competitive, I think.
The 250s are going to be very competitive.
We should also mention there was a really bad wreck in race two between Bogle and Nelson.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, they and pretty much going to have to wait and see how serious the injuries were.
I would have thought by now we would have seen something on that.
I haven't heard anything. But
it was a big wipe.
Yeah, and you know, and Jeremy Martin in that second race, he got the win in the second race, which, you know, he's looking so strong to me right now.
Yeah.
That's good because we're not going to have a Musquin, you know, taking over, I don't think, the series type thing now with Martin doing as well as he's doing.
Right, yeah. You know, I think this is going to be one of the series where, you know, I think the 250s outdoor this year, you're not going to have somebody coming out winning doubles all the time.
I don't think so. There's enough really good guys out there.
You know, this is only one race.
Yeah. A lot.
It doesn't look like
one. Well, there's a lot of these guys in the race in Supercross that really – don't seem to do as well indoors as they do outdoors.
Yeah.
You know? And so you get, it's a lot more competitive.
Yeah. So I was glad to see that. 450s. 450s was just a show.
Yeah, it was. Great racing.
First race was just...
Great racing. Race one looked like, oh, here we go. Dungy gets the whole shot.
Dungy got the whole shot, and I'm like, oh, the party's over.
Yeah.
I think
it's what everyone expected,
took no time for Eli Tomac to take over the lead. Cole Seeley.
And that's where the racing
another bad get-off for Cole Seeley. Yeah. Again, it's like... I know he's got like a bad luck streak going on right now, and
I was really surprised how bad Chad Reed did.
Yeah, he didn't do well. I mean, Chad Reed usually excels in the outdoor racing. I don't think he did really well. Tomac just completely took off in race one, and if it wasn't for some lap traffic towards the end of the race in there. It would have just been a huge.
He still did,
but it gave Dungy a little chance to reel him a little bit. But it was just too late because Tomac just like put the hammer down at that point and ended up winning the first race by 22 seconds.
Yeah, he was gone.
It was like goodbye.
Dungy second. The first race it was Jason Anderson. Jason Anderson.
Yeah.
Jason Anderson.
He got the final podium spot.
I think he had a pretty good season. Like I said, Rocks and Reed, two guys I was expecting a little bit more out of. Barcia had a Barcia weekend. Race good one, wreck good one.
Yeah.
I didn't think Roxon was actually going to race this early. I thought he was going to be another few more weeks before he came
back
to
it. I was going to mention that in a minute, but he's still hurting, but... you know, given the fact that he's nowhere near 100%, he did, I thought, pretty good, at least in one of the races.
Yeah, the second race.
In the first race, we should mention Blake Baggett didn't do too bad. He ended up getting the fourth spot.
Yeah, yeah.
And another name that you're going to hear, I think, a lot more in the outdoor season is Christopher Porcel as well.
I agree with that. So. You know, I was a little surprised we didn't hear more about Chris.
you want me to fill in?
Purcell. a little bit more last season in the Supercross.
Did he even race the Supercross?
No, I don't think he did.
I thought he raced
a little bit. And he didn't qualify a lot. I don't think he made the show a lot.
Maybe he didn't. But he's a lot stronger outdoors.
Yes, and he's definitely somebody who I think you're going to. I agree. I think you're going to hear his name, and you know, I think maybe you'll hear a little bit more about from Tickle.
We'll see.
We'll see. I don't know.
We'll see. He's kind of been a disappointment. It's like, you know. Now, in race two, I do want to mention Chad Reed did get a good start in race two.
Yeah, he
started out really strong, but Tomac again. Tomac's like, I don't know what it is, but he's like an absolute beast this weekend. He must either love that track or something.
He ate his Wheaties.
He did. I mean, he ended up destroying the field.
I mean, he literally stomped.
I swear he finished this race before some of the lap traffic finished the first lap.
Yeah,
it seemed that way. He was very strong. He took the lead, and he ran away from everybody both times.
Close to a perfect race, I think he ran in there.
And I've never seen that much. I mean, it was a 90-second win.
Yeah.
I've never seen.
And it was like, and Dungy, I think, Dungy probably was a little bit stunned by this, too, because he had nothing for him.
Yeah.
Dungy couldn't keep up with him. Weston Pike had another,
good showing in the second race.
Right. So that may be signs that his conditioning's starting to come around. Mm-hmm. Off the podium, but a respectable performance. Barcia did get a fourth.
Yeah.
Which for him, because that just means he couldn't find anybody to wreck, so he got a fourth.
Right, and there were no cheeseburgers on the side of the track or whatever.
Right, and I did want to mention that Roxon,
fifth.
Even though he got a fifth place in there, that's a hell of a performance for a guy who's, I mean, he's...
Not 100%.
He's nowhere near 100%.
Yeah.
Those are long, tiresome races. Yeah, motocross is... Motocross is exhausting. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
Supercross beats you up more than motocross does.
Yeah,
but motocross exhausts you.
Yes.
You know.
And and Tomac, I mean, he just dominated.
Absolutely dominated.
I mean, it was
You guys know that I'm This is the first real year I've really paid a lot of attention to this. Is there any difference between the bikes they were using in Supercross and the bikes they're using in Motocross?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The only difference being that they
gear them
different. They're geared differently. The spring rates are much different for motocross than they are.
It's setup. I know there'd be setup differences,
but I'm talking about
Setup. Yeah, I mean, there's probably some other. I mean, they probably use a little bit different front end configuration on some of the bikes than they because do when in Supercross.
When I saw Tomac running like he did, it looked like he was riding a different bike.
Yeah, he wasn't. But I mean, again, it's very motocross is. As much as they try to recreate it in Supercross, it is very different. In the early days of Supercross, it was very much like a mini motocross. Now Supercross is very different.
Yeah, it's all you got the these big zones. Air.
You got you got zones with the whoop section. You know,
and you get the tabletops and the dragon's backs.
It's very different now. Supercross from motocross. Motocross now has a lot more. Motocross is much closer, I think. And why a lot of road racers do it is much closer to road racing because you do have to watch your apexes and things like that in motocross. Supercross, not so much. It's pretty much the lines. I mean, the lines get dictated to you a lot of times in Supercross. Because it's man-made. It's not natural.
And motocross, you know, there's if you watched, you know, Supercross, it's like that one rut gets down. Motocross, there'll be two or three because some guys like to apex the turn early. Right. Some go
and
late.
Some places there's just one. In some places there's none because it's so hard pack in some places.
Yeah, you know, so and you'll see that the composition, you know, Supercross is pretty consistent at a track.
Yes.
You know, you go there and they ship in the dirt, they ship in the sand.
It's one mix.
It's one mix where, you know, you'll be at Hangtown and maybe the next week at Glen Helen it'll be rocky or, you know.
Well, it's even different, even on a given course.
On a different course, and right.
And motocross.
Where you're going up the side
there's
the
different
hill.
Places in there depending upon the lay of the land and the way that the water comes through, you know, in normal, you know. So there's some places in there where it might be literally all hard clay in one part of a course. Another part, you might have loam in there because they've, you know, the hills have been graded some. So it's very, very different. But, you know, literally, you don't, in Supercross, you have to follow the ruts. They will dictate it, you know?
Yeah.
I was just kind of curious because I didn't see Tomac running anywhere like that in Supercross. And I was just curious about the bikes, maybe.
In the past, Dungey's not been as strong in motocross as he was in Supercross. So we'll see. But I'll tell you what, I mean, you know, when Roczen gets better, Roczen's very strong in motocross. So.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, I think you're going to have five or six guys that are going to really compete hard.
And I think it should be a little closer than what Supercross was.
I wish television coverage was there.
Yeah.
Well, MAV TV has.
I can't even get MAV TV if I wanted to. It's not available on my provider.
You don't get anything, do you?
Did you sign up for El Cheapo?
No, it's got nothing to do with that. I've got to buy sports as a separate tier on there, which is like $35 a month. There's not much sports that I watch. There's very few sports that I would get anyways. I already get MotoGP.
Motocross, Supercross, MotoGP.
I get Supercross.
AMA. He's like, all the sports
America.
I watch are $35
no,
a month.
No. Okay, number one, I can get AMA on a stream. Right, and get Moto America on the stream.
Moto America.
I already get World Superbike.
Something like Supercross.
Supercross is on. I get Supercross already. So you're basically only talking about HD. You're only talking about motocross.
And speaking of that, Moto America,
I get everything else without buying that package. Why would I buy it?
I believe it was something like Motor Trend On Demand.
Motor Trend On Demand. Yeah.
Yeah. Broadcasted
one race. The other race I got on the one that we watched it on last year.
Oh, I don't remember what that
Fans was. Choice.tv.
Yeah, well, I think they had them all on there. They were on both. I don't know.
No, Race 2 was not on Fans Choice. They actually directed you. You had to go back to Moto America.
Okay.
So whatever that arrangement was.
Whatever that arrangement was.
But you see what I'm saying? Why am I going to buy a sports package just to get motocross? Not gonna.
Yeah.
No, see, he'd be that way. He doesn't support his industry.
Even if I
got the sports package, it's not on my provider. I don't have MAV TV available.
There's no MAV TV in Virginia or whatever.
Except at my house.
Is that his house?
It's at mine too. My too. I don't know. You know.
I have Fios.
He has.
They have a cream to fix that.
No, they decided not to carry my MAV TV. That's not my fault.
That is your fault today.
Okay.
So, anyways. Do we want to take a break and then get into MotoGP, or do we want to just get? Let's just get.
Let's go run through it now.
All right, let's run through it. The MotoGP boys were at Limoux.
Yep.
Limoux. Limoux.
Le Mans.
Limoux. It's a cow thing.
Limoux. Limoux. I'm going to hold my pinky finger up when I see that. I surrender.
Something should not be on video. I'm sorry.
Some things shouldn't be.
Yeah.
So Moto 2. Moto 3. Did you watch Moto 3?
I did not.
Finally, Danny Ken did not walk away with an 1,800 million foot lead.
Yeah, but I did watch a recap of the race, and I will say that tells me Danny Kent's getting mature and smart.
Yeah.
He didn't push it. He knows
he didn't have to push it.
Yeah, he said, I'll get good points. I don't need to do the stupid stuff.
But the Moto 3 race went back to being a Moto 3 race that we were used to, four or five guys battling out at the end.
Right.
So that was kind of good. If you didn't get to check it out, I don't even know if that's on TV anymore.
No, but it is available on the Moto. It is available on the MotoGP package.
They do show Moto 3 on
TV.
On TV?
Yep. I try not to watch TV.
Really?
It rots my brain. Moto 2.
Moto 3, 2, and GP are all on one of the channels.
Moto 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of that kind of threw us all for a little bit of loop.
Yeah,
we haven't really been talking Luthi that
at all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I
that much.
Yeah, but you know what? We should have.
We should have
fault us because apparently, unbeknownst to us, since we've given him so little respect, we didn't realize that he's probably one of the most successful racers at Le Mans in recent years.
Yeah, that is true,
and especially this weekend.
Good to do our homework.
Yeah, exactly. Because we didn't do our homework because apparently. Apparently, he pretty much owns that track.
Yeah, and it was like, yeah, we didn't really talk about him. And that seems to happen in Moto 2. Mm-hmm. If we don't talk about somebody, they bite us in the ass. So he definitely made a thing. And now he's with his win, he's now second in points.
Yeah, and he led almost the entire race.
Yeah, I mean,
which tells me it's that. You know, he's getting better points, and we don't give him much respect.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm seeing that.
Yeah, I'm going to go right back to not giving him respect. I'm sorry.
we haven't really.
He's 19 points behind.
Yeah.
He's closing in, but he's still 19 points
He's closing
behind.
In, but, you know, you win a race, and you're, you know, you don't, that's.
Kickstart Rabat has actually now decided to make it a season.
I don't think so.
He decided
to make it a race.
He made it a race. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go throwing him under the bus just yet.
Okay. Then I'll do it for you.
He had a bad start.
He did.
He did a really bad start, and he worked his way all through all the traffic and got up to second place. And I think if there might have been two, maybe three more laps left, he might have been able to catch Luthi.
Luthi would have wrecked him or something.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I
think Luthi was destined to win that race from about three laps in.
Yeah, pretty much. Zarco and Lowe's and Morbidelli. I feel bad for Morbidelli because if you look at the season stats, he's like the most consistent guy, but he's most consistently fifth.
Yeah, yeah. Morbidelli's doing well, but Morbidelli, he seems like he's on a mission to drive other people off the track. Did you notice that?
I think he took two different people off the track. You know, I actually was looking to see who his teammates were, wondering who he was blocking for.
Yeah, I know.
And it was like nobody. And I'm going, I wonder if he gets the concept.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think he's just he's a hardcore racer. That's what I like about him. I like the way he races.
Yeah.
I think he's going to keep showing up on our radar. I really think he will.
Yeah, and I don't see anything keeping him at it. I mean, he was back at one time. He was back to like ninth place, and I'm like, oh man, his fifth place, you know, his fourth and fifth, you know, thing snaps, and all of a sudden at the end of the race, man, there he's sitting there in fifth, boom, just coming. Well,
and what's going on with Sam Lowe's? Doesn't seem like he's the same Sam Lowe as he was in the beginning of the season, does he?
You know, he has his time.
Yeah, that's not winning.
No, but
right.
If you're not first, you're last, Warren.
That's true.
You got to look at it this way, Warren. Yeah, I don't fault him because he got a fourth this weekend. But let's start looking back the last three weekends. He's getting into this mode of not getting. You need to win races or get seconds, or you need to be getting
on the podium.
Yeah. He hadn't been on the podium for a while, so that's the problem. So he looked like he was coming out like gangbusters at the beginning of the season. He just, something's not right.
You know, he's got, I went back and looked, he's got a crash or DNF, a win,
right.
A third,
yep,
not place in points.
Right, outside
and
the points.
13, and a fourth.
Right.
That kills you. That kills you.
That kills you.
If you got two DNFs in a season.
Yeah, he'd be in a completely different place right now if he was consistently getting fourths.
Yeah.
Even if he wasn't getting on the podium, he'd be better off.
You know, Morbidelli, who has 4 fifths and a sixth, is ahead of him in points.
Yeah, because that's what it's about, consistency.
It's about finishing races. You can't win a championship if you don't finish races.
Right.
You have to finish races.
I think he looks different. I don't know if something changed on that team. The bike doesn't look like it's as good as it was in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, it looks like if they made adjustments, they went the wrong way.
Right.
You know, I'm a little surprised. I'm a little surprised at, who was it? I can't think of his name. Simon. Simone? Not Simone.
Simone Corsi or Xavier Simeon?
Simeon.
Not Simeon. Simon. Julian Simone or whatever his name is.
Okay.
I have no idea who he's talking about.
He's a guy who I kind of always view as a back marker, and he snuck his way up to sixth.
Okay.
I was a little surprised by that.
Okay.
I view him as a back marker.
Okay.
But I also think that that's probably a track that he's very familiar with.
Right.
You know, and to show you how much, I guess it's Simon? Simon?
I don't know.
I don't know how you pronounce it. You know, you're getting these foreign names. I really should have asked Heavier to send me a
right.
link.
Yeah, phonetic spelling.
Phonetic spelling of all these guys' names.
Right.
But, you know, other than that, I thought the racing was pretty good in Moto2. It was
pretty good. It's one of those things where I say, you know, I watch a race and all's over and said, there's nothing I can take away from that race.
Yeah, that's kind of the
It gives me no help in the next race.
It was like the first race of the season, all over again.
Yeah, it's not like Luthi winning means anything. Because apparently he wins all the time at Le Mans, right?
Yeah.
It's not Rabat. He gets a second place. Big deal. Okay.
Right.
And Zarco gets a third. Yeah. You know.
He's shown some consistency.
It doesn't tell me anything. That's the point. It doesn't tell me anything.
Well,
I still, going forward, I feel comfortable picking Zarco in the next race to win. I would now.
Yeah. Right. Right now, I don't see why. I wouldn't pick Luthi.
No, not to win two in a row.
I wouldn't take that. And I'm not saying. And while I'm not ready to punt on Rabat, I'm not ready to put my faith in him either.
Right. Only thing is I wouldn't feel comfortable picking Lowe's to win a race, but it wouldn't surprise me if he did.
Yeah.
Because he's due.
But he's due.
Right.
You know, and then if he hits, I wouldn't pick him for 2 weeks.
Right. Okay, you know? I think we covered Moto2 enough.
And then we got MotoGP.
And there is something I came away from in this race.
Besides Hip Hip Jorge?
No. Absolutely not. I tried to pick him, but I quit in the middle of picking.
Oh, okay. You parked it?
Yeah.
You hear what he has to say, I want to ask a question about the track. There was a lot of spills in the MotoGP race.
There was.
Something happened to the track? Or did they go different tires?
It was warm, and it got a bit greasy in the afternoon. But I don't think that's what it is. That track does tend to have a lot of get-offs.
They were trying to push.
Yeah, you know,
there was more than a few.
If everybody says that Jorge Lorenzo is back because he's won two in a row now, I'm gonna say BS. I don't buy that at all. I think that number one, if I had to look forward to taking this race, then I'd say, yeah, I think probably if other people weren't in his way, Rossi would have won that race.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah,
I think right now, even though Jorge's won the last two races in a row, I really think Rossi is right now still
he's
the man to beat.
He is.
He had to come through. He had a terrible start.
Yeah, he started, seventh?
Yeah, and he had bad qualifying, bad starts. The practices weren't good. Everything pretty much they could have gone wrong other than a get-off to, you know, happen this week, and he was strong in the race. They put it together race day, and that's more important than anything else.
Yeah, His pass of Marquez, and even his pass of Dovi.
Yeah, he schooled Marquez in that pass. Yeah. And Mark Marquez is not Mark Marquez, and I'm sorry, but your broken pinky finger in motocross is not the reason. There's other stuff going
Something's going on there.
Yeah.
Well, he looked really good at the very beginning.
Fortunately for Honda, Danny Pedrosa got the same number of points as Aoyama.
Yes, they lucked out on that.
Yeah.
I kind of almost felt bad when Pedrosa crashed. And then he got up and he started racing, and I was like,
he was okay.
Well, I picked Marquez for the win this weekend, and I got really excited when he took that at near the very beginning where he passed three of them on the same turn.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like Marquez of last year.
Yeah, so the message is, don't get excited the first lap.
And all of a sudden he stands the bike up and everybody goes right back to him again.
Yeah, he's
Well, he overcooked it.
He's not racing the way he did before.
Right.
In my
it was
opinion.
One of those.
He's racing like he did. You know what? When I watched him this week, it kind of looked like last 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Now,
Moto 2.
When he was in Moto 2.
Yeah.
Remember how sometimes he would show flashes of brilliance,
right?
And then other times he pushed his brilliance to reckless.
Yeah.
And right now he's riding. He's how many times he overcooked like four turns.
Yeah, he was having some problems out there.
Yeah.
And it got to a point in there where it was kind of evident to me, and I hate to say you ever know what somebody's thinking, but it was kind of evident from the racing in there that there came to be a point where he realized he was not going to win this race, and it wasn't very long into the race.
Yes.
He spent a lot of time racing Crutchlow.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be racing Crutchlow.
Right. I should be racing Crutchlow.
Well, yeah. maybe not.
So we started to talk about it during one of the breaks, and Ken, you mentioned that you thought there was something up with the Honda bikes this year as well.
Yeah, something's going on.
And I'm wondering if did they accept the standard ECM?
No, nobody. No. Well, let me tell you a little about what the rule change was, because they changed the rule change, as they will. And the rule change basically says is that everybody that's in the open class or qualifies for open class benefits gets the standard ECU. Okay, and they're getting the spec ECU. Period. You have to take it. So they get the spec ECU. Now, what you do is if you're not running the spec ECU and you're in the factory class, right, or the satellite class, you know, you're in that class there. Now, the non-open class, the closed class, let's call it that. They can make changes up until the middle of the season, then it's locked.
Yeah,
then that's
locked.
It. And then they can't do anything else. And that's it. Now, Honda should have came in already with an advantage with the race one. And I think they probably did. I think it's something else. I was speculating, and pure speculation, I got nothing based on it. Something else is going on his team. It's almost like they're not getting the bike
ready?
Dialed in.
Yeah, dialed in for him.
Yeah.
Or there's more Chet Hookers than we know about out there.
Well, Chet Hookers are bad, man.
Because he's just not racing. I thought the sign.
Maybe he's got a steady
supply. I thought the race between him and
are they going to Bruno this year?
I thought between yes, they are.
They always go to Bruno.
But the racing between him and Rossi a few weeks back, right? Or I guess almost a month back now, right?
Yeah.
That race to me that was a sign that he was making a comeback, and then there was a complete drop off this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he had a good qualifying. And it was just a very
flashes of
mediocre. It was a mediocre race,
right? You know,
he finished fourth, so it's not
but he didn't.
Mediocre.
It was at
no,
the end.
Mediocre
it was at the
for
end.
Him.
He was taking advantage of guys whose tires had gone. You know, he was
this
not.
This is a guy that won what 10 races last year?
The first 10 races last year.
Yeah, well, that's right. Didn't make the 11th one to break the record. The fourth place is if fourth place is mediocre for someone with that background. And I'm sure that Yamaha's made some improvements, but they haven't made that much. Not that. And if anything, the bike that we've seen that might have improved Yamaha would have been Rossi's, and by far the Ducati. And Ducati seems like they've hit a limit. Do you notice that they've kind of hit a wall?
Your conspiracy theory where, yes. Hey, wait till you're in Italy before you win a race.
Yeah, yeah. Don't win right
don't,
now.
Don't throw it, right. Don't make
don't
it so we can't win in Italy.
Right, right.
And if you're going to go conspiracy, that would be my prediction that they will win at maybe Misano or...
When are those coming up?
Yeah, Misano's coming up.
Not before either late June or early July at the earliest, right? They're not going to win a race before
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm trying to see the date on Misano. But yeah, we're going to do that. Durka, stop tapping your fingers. I don't care what the time is. Ken probably does. But yeah.
I can see the clock. That's how I know.
You know, so I think Jorge looks good, but I still think Rossi, I'm with Ken. If there hadn't been traffic, Rossi would have won that race.
And if Lorenzo wasn't out front, if Rossi had been out front, I don't think there would be any chance that Lorenzo would have been able to catch him.
Yeah.
Number one, he would have given up on the last lap anyway.
Yeah, he would have just parked it.
Right.
Where's the race next week?
Their next race is in 2 weeks at Mugello. So there's a chance they could win there.
No,
No.
Too early.
Yeah, they want to win at Misano.
I think so.
I think Misano. Next week is World Superbike at Donington Park. I guess we should talk a few minutes about the pool before we run out of time.
Well, isn't Donington Park in England. Soggy Britain?
Soggy Britain.
It is.
That sound effect is not in the board anymore.
There's two great picks for that race. That's the problem.
Yeah. Everybody on the leaderboard in World Superbike is British. British been on the podium? Oh, yeah.
There's two guys who race really hard at Donington Park, and they happen to be teammates.
Yeah.
Well, the top four guys are all British.
Yep.
Yeah. So in the pool, Olaf, the pool leader, had the best weekend. And Richard, he kind of tied him up. They scored 45 points. So he actually increased his lead. I jumped from fifth to third. Hawkeye stayed third to second.
Phil,
yeah.
you doing this roller coaster thing?
I am.
It's like, yeah, you dropped like four places last week.
Yeah, well, that's how tight it is.
Right.
You know, there's between second and 11th, there's only 28 points.
Right.
You know, so it doesn't take much to jump around a bunch of spots in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to get your picks in. We had somebody who for the second weekend in a row didn't get a picks in. And that kills you. And Ken, you are no longer in last now.
Yay!
Yay! You did drop some points to Warren, though.
Yay.
Yeah, because of Rabat.
Yeah.
Had Rabat. You had Zarku.
Right.
You know, but the pool's been jumping around. You know, there's a couple guys making some charges, but it's pretty. I'll give you the top five quick: Olaf, Hawkeye, me, Matt B, Chris W, who's at the Isle of Man. Or going to the Isle
Man. Going to the Isle Man. Northwest 200, I actually had a story about that.
Yeah, they were streaming about. They streamed it live.
I'm going to talk about that on next week's show.
Okay, we'll talk about the Isle Man on next week's show.
No, I'm going to talk about the Northwest 200 next week's show.
We'll talk about the Northwest 200 on next week's show too.
I can talk about the Isle Man, but I'd be early.
I'd rather be. No, it is this week, right?
Sounds like he's going to talk about men.
Next week, the week after.
It's still an Isle. Even next week or this week.
I don't know.
And there's man there.
Men.
Manly men.
No, I don't want to get booted by Twitter again.
That's right.
F you, Twitter.
Twitter.
Not Twitter.
man, now we got a lot of
I just
did
take the Lord's name in
vain. Did you just say that?
Yes, he did.
Yes, I did.
There's
I'm not
three.
Taking any
no,
of it
damn
out.
It is fine.
Four.
Damn it's fine.
Five, damn it is six. Fine.
Right. Did you say one of the deadly seven words?
I said GD.
That's okay. That's
yeah,
allowed.
That's okay. I didn't say anything else.
I'm not
it's Dirk who dropped the F-bomb.
Yeah, that's right. Dirk threw out the F-bomb.
At Warren. Warren, you should shoot him after the show.
I could probably leave the F-bomb in there, too. You know that.
Yeah, because
it's from Dirk.
It's from Dirk. And we'll just be like, in his country.
It's from Dirk.
That means a $7,000 bet.
Yeah. Well, we can just...
And 8,000 count
it's not
cotton.
Right, it's not right to make fun of the mentally disabled, right?
That is true. All right, with that, we should wrap this show up before somebody gets mad at us and declares jihad. This has been The Doghouse here on ntnradio.com. Right?
Sin for crimes.
I thought you said sin for crimes. I gotta take this crap out of my ear.
Hashtag bikers lives matter.
Allegedly. No, they actually. We'll be back next week, right? Maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll try.